All right. Thank you, John. Thank you, Rosalind. Appreciate that. Want to take our Bibles tonight. We're going to be in the book of Ruth. If you don't know where that is, it's Joshua, Judges, Ruth. So you got to go to the historical books in the Old Testament. I don't know how you memorize the Old Testament books. The way I did it was mathematically. Math was easy for me in school, so I got to Bible memorization. I memorized the books of the Bible by math. And by that, the Old Testament is broken down 5-12, 5-5-12, and that. So you got the first books of the law, the Pentateuch, and you got then the history. There's 12 books in the history. And then after that, you got your poetical books, then you got your major prophets, and then you got your minor prophets. So I don't know why that always just kind of stuck with me, but Ruth is one of our historical books. It's one of the only two books that's authored or written by women of the Bible, and Ruth is one of them, the other being the book of Esther. And one thing that's interesting about the book of Ruth is the great-grandmother of King David. And that, so when you think about it, you might think, well, why would such a book like the book of Ruth, only four short chapters, why would God put it in the chronological order of the Bible, put it in the Bible? And he did so for a reason, because I think the message really, to me, that stands out in the book of Ruth is the kinsman redeemer. And really the picture here in the book of Ruth, even though it's an Old Testament book, and yet Ruth being the great-grandmother of King David, is the Lord Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer. Now, that sounds like a big word, and exactly, you know, you think about what it is, and he is really referred to in Christian theology as our kinsman redeemer. We know that in the Old Testament, a kinsman redeemer, we're going to look at here in the book of Ruth in a moment, was a close relative responsible for acts of deliverance. Is what they were really responsible for. Redeeming family members. We're going to see that here in the book of Ruth. Redeeming family members from slavery or from a debt that they owed. That was done by paying the necessary price to be able to free them. Or redeeming a family's property that had been sold is another way. Or avenging the death of a relative. Now, we know the Lord Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer tonight. And so in the New Testament, Jesus is seen as the ultimate fulfillment of the kinsman redeeming, the redeeming role, redeeming the believer, that he became human, that Jesus, though divine, became human in the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ to be our close relative and thus became our kinsman redeemer. We also know that he redeemed humanity from sin. And through his death on the cross of Calvary, that he paid the ultimate price, so he became our kinsman redeemer. And probably the most important thing is the kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, is he restored our relationship between us and the Father, God the Father. So that's the benefit of getting saved. That's the benefit of coming to Christ, is that is the bridging the gap. Our kinsman redeemer bridged the gap, restored the relationship by redeeming us. He also restores our relationship with God, making us children of God and joint heirs with Christ. And so so it's really here, even though we're going to look tonight at the story here of Ruth, and that the ultimate story behind this is the Lord Jesus Christ is your kinsman redeemer, has come for you and redeemed you and paid your price that you and I could have eternal life. But it's caught up in the story here of Ruth. So let's take a look at it here, if you will. Ruth chapter 1 says Ruth chapter 1, if you're using an old Scofield Bible, I could give you the page number, but you may not be. But anyway, Ruth chapter 1 and verse 1, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, he went to sojourn in the country of Moab." You might circle that word Moab. Moab is a country that are the descendants of Lot. And that's important in the Bible, that he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of that man, here it is now, is Elimelech. And the name of his wife, Naomi. And the name of his two sons is Mahlon and Chilion. and Epaphrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came into the country of Moab, and they continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. She was left with her two sons and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab, and the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And then Mahlon and Chilion died. Now this is a horrible thing. You know, here Naomi loses her husband. Now she loses her two sons in verse 5. Both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. She arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. So wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return into the land of Judah. And Naomi here said unto her two daughters-in-law, go and return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you. Now think about that for a moment. Naomi just lost her husband. Now she loses her two sons. So she's releasing the daughter-in-law, saying, go home to your family. In verse 9, the Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them. They lifted up their voice, and they wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughter, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice, and they wept again. But now notice the decision-making here of the two daughters-in-laws. Orpah here kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave to her mother-in-law. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people. Notice this now, and that would be Orpah now. And unto her gods, small g, return thou after thy sister-in-law. Naomi's telling her here, telling Ruth, why, you know, go back, go with Orpah, go back home to your family. And Ruth said in verse 16, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, capital G-O-D, my God, capital G-O-D. Big difference between Orpah and Ruth. Big difference between who they worshipped and their God. Here Ruth served the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but evidently not so when Orpah was going back to the idols and the gods there. And then Naomi, or they, Ruth says this in verse 17: where thou diest, I will die, and there I will and will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me, more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So Naomi finally agreed that, okay, Ruth, you're coming with me. In verse 18, when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking. So the two went until they came to Bethlehem. Came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city there was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt bitterly with me. She felt so strongly about that, taking her husband, taking her two sons. She says in verse 21, notice this now, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call you me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? And so Naomi returned, and Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. You know, if you look at it here, you really see, if you really believe in God and his sovereignty and his leading, that it's interesting here how God brings Naomi back home. Ruth goes home with her and brings her home. Look what happens here. And Naomi, and this is where the kinsman redeemer comes into play. It says, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of the corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went, came, gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. And then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? Evidently Ruth caught the eye of Boaz. In verse 6, and the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. And so she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. And then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens, and let thy eyes be on the field that they do reap. Go after them. Have I not charged the young men? Notice this now, Boaz. I've charged the young men that they shall not touch thee. When thou art athirst, go to the vessels, drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face, bowed herself to the ground. She said unto him, why have I found grace in thy eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered, he said unto her, it hath fully been showed to me, God at work here, all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not therefore. And the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. And then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread, dip of the morsel of the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded, notice that now, commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves. Reproach her not. Let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She took it up, went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she had sufficed. Her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? And blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left of thee kindness and the living and the dead. And Naomi said, the man, here it is now, is near of kin unto us, and one of our next kinsman. So he is a blood relative of Elimelech. And then Ruth the Moabitess said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with the maidens, and they meet thee not in any other field. And so she kept fast by the maidens, and Boaz to glean an end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. What a great Bible story when you look at this here, and you think about only four chapters here in the book of Ruth, why God would put such a story here in the Bible. I would say to us tonight, it's a story and a picture of, a bigger picture of our kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you think about it here, Leviticus 25 gives us and tells us what a kinsman redeemer is. The kinsman redeemer is a male relative who, according to various laws of the Pentateuch, of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They had the privilege or the responsibility to act on behalf of a relative who was in trouble, who was in danger, who was in need. And the Hebrew term here, goel, for kinsman redeemer, designates the one who delivers or rescues or redeems property or person. So the kinsman here who redeems or vindicates a relative is illustrated most clearly in the book of Ruth. And so the kinsman redeemer is none other than Boaz. So the story of Ruth here and Boaz begins when Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi, they return back to Bethlehem from Moab, where they had been living, and Naomi's husband, both sons, one the husband of Ruth, and had died, leaving the women penniless and without a male protector in the family. So it is so important to see, you know, it's such a tragedy when you think about this. I have one of my youngest sister of my father in the family is named Naomi. My grandmother named, there were eight children in the family, and my grandmother named the youngest child, which was a girl, Naomi, out of Naomi from here in the Bible. It's interesting, but here, upon arriving in Bethlehem, Naomi sends Ruth to glean in the fields of Boaz. And Boaz here was a wealthy relative of Naomi to whom they, through a series of divinely appointed circumstances, appealed to them. And so Boaz agrees and willingly takes Ruth as his wife, and together, and it's interesting because you go on there in chapter three, we find Ruth and the courtship. You know, the courtship days, it's interesting here is because we find in verse 3, 4, and 5, I don't know if any of you remember back in the days of your courtship, and man, those were fun days when you met your spouse. And you're dating, and you're courting, and you're trying to win their favor, and you're trying. Here's the courtship of Ruth, and she's instructed. It says in verse 3 of chapter 3, "Wash thyself therefore, anoint thee, put on thy raiment upon thee, get thee down to the floor, make not thyself known unto the man, to Boaz, till he shall have done eating and drinking, and it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. Thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, lay down, he will tell thee what thou shalt do." And she said unto her, "All that thou sayest unto me I will do." So it's interesting here that you see as they come together and that, and because of the relationship here, that Ruth had a close relationship with Naomi, and the farther it goes in the courtship, they come together. You get to chapter 4, and we find here that he says to Naomi, he says here, "Then went Boaz up to the gate," in verse 1, "set him down there. Behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, and unto him he said, Ho, such a one, and turn aside, sit down." And he turned aside and sat down. He took 10 men of the elders of the city, and sit down ye here. And they sat down. He said unto the kinsman, "Naomi, that has come out again unto the country of Moab, and sell the parcel of land, which is our brother Amalek." So it comes together. Skip on down there, if you will, to verse 9. And Boaz saying to the elders there, he said, "And unto all the people, you are witnesses today that I have bought all that was Elimelech's," Boaz said, "and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's, and of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabite is the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, and to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance." There we see the act of Boaz in the story. In verse 13, so Boaz in verse 13 takes Ruth, and she was his wife, and he went in unto her, and the Lord gave her conception. She bare a son. That son, if you skip down to verse 17 there, is Obed. And he is the father of Jesse, who is the father of David. And therein we find the lineage and the connection there in the story here of the kinsman redeemer. So it's interesting, Yahweh, if you think about God, Yahweh, is Israel's Redeemer, the one who promises to defend Israel and to vindicate Israel, and he is both Father and Deliverer of Israel. There are numerous Old Testament appeals to God as the rescuer, always of the weak and always of the needy, and the preserver of the sheep of the house of Israel. But in the New Testament, we know Christ is often regarded as an example of our kinsman redeemer, as our brother. Let me give you a verse. Go to Hebrews in the New Testament, over to Hebrews chapter 2. So here in these four short stories, or four chapters here over in the book of Ruth, gives us the story of the kinsman redeemer. But here in the New Testament, you get over to Hebrews chapter 2 and you get down to verse 11 said, "For both he that sanctify and they who are sanctified are all for one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." And so he also redeems us because of our great need, one that only he can satisfy. And so when we look here in the story, in the Bible story of Ruth, we see a beautiful a picture here of someone in need. Ruth had a great need. She was unable to rescue herself. She no longer had a husband. She no longer had the connections. And so you and I, as we come today, we come to Christ and our kinsman redeemer. When we need him the most, he's there to redeem us and takes us unto himself. And so it's a great illustration here of Ruth in the Bible. So in the same way the Lord Jesus brought us for himself out of the curse, out of destitution, he made us his beloved and his bride and blessed us for all generations. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the true kinsman redeemer of all that call upon him and that. So, but the interesting thing about Ruth here, you know, this occurred in the days of the judges. In the days of the judges, they had no king. And no one to rule. So they had judges that ruled in the land in that day. And so when you look at it, Moab here, if you look on a map in the Bible, Moab is east of the Dead Sea. That's where Ruth was from. Moab was an enemy of the nation of Israel. Moab is the place where Lot came from. Remember that? Abraham gave Lot a choice, and Lot chose that area, and Abraham took another route. So for 18 years, Moab oppressed Israel during the time of the judges. The Moabites were an enemy of Israel all during this time. Saul, King Saul, when he was king over Israel, defeated the Moabites. David enjoyed, though, peaceful relationships with the Moabites, but Moab here, they worshipped idols and they did not believe in God. I find it interesting that Naomi, when the two daughter-in-laws lost their husbands. And the Bible records it there that one daughter made a choice and went one way, and Orpha here, and then the other daughter made a choice. And it had to do, really, with their God and those that that ruled over them. And so we find here Naomi had a tremendous impact upon Ruth. So God here had put a curse upon and the monarch. Ruth, what Ruth does here, bridges the time between the judges and the monarchy of the nation of Israel. Between the days of the judges and then the days of the monarchy being the days of Saul and David and Solomon. So Ruth really covers a period here of about 10 to 12 years. And 10 years in Moab, several months so that she spends here, we notice here in the Bible, in the fields of Boaz as she comes. And one day in Bethlehem and one night on the threshing floor of Boaz. And then about a year she spends in Bethlehem. Now, if you look at it here in the scripture, there's some major theological themes that emerge here from this book of Ruth. Such a small book, but yet such a powerful book. And I think the first one is that Ruth the Moabitess here illustrates that God's redemptive plan extends beyond the Jews to the Gentiles. Go back to Genesis 2. Let me show you this in Genesis 2. And interesting here that God's redemptive plan is beyond the Jews. Thank God it didn't stop there, that it went to the Gentile world. It says here, it's not the verse I'm looking for. Well, yeah, it is. Go back to Ruth, not Genesis. I want to go back to Ruth. Judges, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. So when you look in Ruth, the book of Ruth in chapter 2 and verse 12, the Lord recompense thy work, a full reward be given thee of the Lord thy God of Israel, under the wings thou art come to trust. And so I see the first thing here is God's redemptive plan is part of his plan is to go beyond the Jewish race to the Gentile world and getting the gospel out. And where you really see that taking place in the Bible is in with Cornelius. In Acts chapter 10, and the gospel given to the Gentiles. If the gospel had not been given to the Gentile world, and Paul, being a Jew, being a Hebrew, being of the Pharisees, his ministry was to the entire, to the world of the Gentiles throughout Asia Minor. and that. And so we see that. Second thing we find is that Ruth demonstrates that women here are co-heirs with men in God's plan of salvation by grace through faith in Christ. Let me show you this. Go to, in the New Testament, Galatians 3. And we see that here in Galatians 3, that Ruth gives us, if you think about it, women in the Bible, you got to really take your hat off, have had such a profound influence upon the gospel and the reaching of the gospel. As a matter of fact, the gospel getting into Europe came through Lydia, a seller of purple, as it opened the doors into Europe. So Ruth here, the book of Ruth, demonstrates that women are co-heirs with men in God's plan of salvation. Galatians chapter 3, and you get down to, I think it's verse 28, the one I want, said, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." What an important verse to be able to look at and realize. Whether Jew or Greek, whether bond or free, whether male or female, you're all one in the Lord Jesus Christ. I think another thing is that Ruth also portrays what the Bible calls a virtuous woman. You know, from time to time we'll have a funeral and there'll be something that will stand out as you're having a funeral service for a dear godly woman. And it reminds you of the characteristics and the traits of a virtuous woman. I think it all stems back to Ruth. For example, let me give it to you. It's in Proverbs chapter 31. So if you go to Proverbs chapter 31 especially, note, I want you to see what the writer says here in Proverbs 31. We've oftentimes used this, and it gets down to, in verse 10. Proverbs 31 and verse 10 would be, and here's how, the writer that says this. It says, "Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies?" You know what that word virtuous means here in the Bible? It means somebody that has high moral standards. It means somebody that has set the bar high. Warren, you're here tonight. I love your testimony. His dear wife is in heaven now. But Sharon, when Sharon was here, if you listen to the testimony, Sharon was responsible for really having an impact on you of getting you to the point where you're ready to be saved. Is that correct? Right. Took you out of the bars.
You took me out of the
bars. So there you go. You take your hat off to a woman that virtuous and held the bar high and held the standards high. And that Warren and I was just talking about that the other day. So here, who can find a virtuous woman? And her price is far above rubies. I think another thing we find about Ruth is Ruth describes God's sovereign and providential care of seemingly unimportant people at apparently insignificant times, which later proved to be monumentally crucial to accomplishing God's will and God's plan and God's purpose. You know, we don't see it, we don't understand it, but God had a plan when he allowed Elimelech to die. God had a plan when he allowed their two sons to pass. You may not like that. Naomi probably didn't like it at the time either. And it's always such a tragedy when you lose someone. Imagine what Naomi was going through, feeling that you lose your spouse, then you lose your two sons, then you're there with your two daughter-in-laws. And then in that day, you know, who's going to care? Who's going to care for Ruth and her sister in that here, our sister-in-law? So when you think about it here, so Ruth is quite interesting as a Bible. God all along accomplished in his plan and his purpose. Another thing I think is important about Ruth is the fact that Ruth, along with Tamar in Genesis 38, Rahab in Joshua chapter 2, Bathsheba over in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and chapter 12, they stand in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now think about that. That in the genealogy of Christ, some of the most unusual characters show up in the genealogy. Ruth, Tamar, even Bathsheba, and you think about that. So Boaz here in the book of Ruth is a type of Christ, and he becomes Ruth's kinsman redeemer. Go to Ruth chapter 4, And we see that. So Ruth, greatly, she is rewarded there in verse 1 down through verse 12 and becomes the wife of Boaz. So David's right, and thus Christ is right, to sit on the throne of Israel. It is all tracked or traced back to Judah and through the lineage of this. So notice here, we look in verse 13, Ruth chapter 4, verse 13. Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, she bare a son. The women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which has not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. He shall be unto thee, notice this now, a restorer of life, a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. Naomi took the child, laid it in her bosom, became nurse unto it, and the women for her neighbors gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, they call his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, who is the father of David. And so we find therein lies the genealogy. Gives you a little bit at the bottom there in verse 18. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez begat Hezron. Hezron begat Ram. Ram begat Abinadab. Abinadab begat Nahshon. Nahshon begat Solomon. And Solomon begat Boaz. Boaz begat Obed. Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David. It's so interesting to see the genealogy. And when you look in the New Testament and you look and you go over it, and a lot of times people don't read the genealogies in the Bible, yet they're very important. God has them in there for a reason. You go to the book of Matthew, it's the genealogy of David, or of Joseph. You go over to the Gospel of Luke, and there you see the genealogy of Mary. And you got to read both genealogies to be able to understand the lineage as it flows down to the importance of the genealogy. So if you really look here at Ruth and the life, Elimelech and Naomi, come to ruin in Moab, Naomi and Ruth, they return to Bethlehem. Boaz received Ruth in the field, falls in love with Ruth, falls in love with Boaz, and Boaz redeems her and gives her another opportunity. God then rewards Boaz and Ruth with a son, and which became David's right to the throne of Judah, and it came through Ruth. So since Ruth was a Bible picture of this virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, I found a few interesting things to note about that. One is she was devoted to her family. Think about the devotion. How many daughters-in-law would be devoted to their mother-in-law? In that case, Ruth was very devoted to her family. She delighted in her work. She was diligent in her labor. She was dedicated to godly speech. She was dependent upon God. She took care of herself and dressed with care as a virtuous woman. She was discreet with men, and she delivered blessings. So the story of Ruth really portrays God's blessing on the righteous, and that was accomplished through Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. And through the actions of Boaz, he communicates with Christ. Boaz here is a Bible picture of the great measures he took to redeem his bride, and so it is with Christ in the church. You know, we've been spending a little bit of time Sunday morning talking about the rapture and the great tribulation. And the exciting thing about thinking about all that is the church is the bride of Christ and the bridegroom. And we're just waiting on the bride and the bridegroom to be united together. That'll come together at the rapture. And then after that, we'll immediately begin the events of the great tribulation period. So it's interesting here. Boaz foreshadows the Lord Jesus Christ, the ultimate kinsman redeemer who will redeem a bride for himself. That's the church. And the son that Boaz and Ruth had preserved, the royal line that leads to Christ, brought us the Lord Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so Boaz redeemed the line of Elimelech. Jesus would redeem the line of all the people of God. It was through Boaz this position pointed to, and in the person and in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that definition is one and only. He is the Lord Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer. He redeemed us. He brought us to himself. He saved us when there was no hope, and he brought us unto himself for eternal life. Thank God we have a kinsman redeemer. Heavenly Father, God, tonight we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for the book of Ruth. Thank you how you open up the Bible story here of Elimelech and Ruth and the family that you give there and how it unfolds. And yet, even in tragedy, when Naomi lost her husband, lost her two sons, to see that out of that tragedy came great and mighty and powerful things as the kinsman redeemer Boaz took Ruth as his wife. And through that, down through the line of David, we get the history and the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, we thank you today that you are our kinsman redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen.